You just bring us into God's presence every
Thank you.
That is a wonderful gift. Thank you so much. But last is
more, that's the sermon title. I'm sure Andrea was thinking it would be so nice if there was a less scripture reading. You did a great job. That was wonderful. Now, I would love to tell you that the reason why I pick scriptures, you know, goes to the lectionary, and then I, you know, I'm in prayer, which I am, and then God leads me, all right, and He led me, I feel, to deliver this sermon. But next week, it's the entire chapter 9 of John. And the week after that, it's the entire chapter 11 of John. So then I thought, you know what? There's an Old Testament in the Bible. Maybe I could read from that. Maybe we could do a sermon on that. So for the next 2 weeks, we're doing the Old Testament, because it's a shorter scripture reading. It's not quite so long. So when less is more, sometimes with scripture reading, certainly not with the coronavirus, all right? Certainly not with that. We need obviously pay serious attention to that. If you have ever worked with junior camp, all right, in church camp, some of you remember, I used to do a billion church camps all the time, and junior church camp. So you got boys about between 10 and 12, you know, years old, okay, and they're all in this cabin. And for a lot of them, it's their first time away from home, first time away from mom. Mom, of course, is paranoid, which is why they come in with truckloads of, just baggage that's going to be lost. Don't ever send a 10-year-old with stuff that's important, because they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it. But one thing they always have is gallons of Axe. You know that aftershave thing? I am telling you. They swim in this stuff. It is the most, you can smell them a billion miles away. They have never practiced putting it on in an appropriate way. And it is absolutely unbelievable. Because, you know, they're only supposed to use a little bit, but they're thinking, well, you know, Clearly you've never been with that group. Well, it's a lot. Because sometimes less is more. Actually, the lion comes. You ever see the movie Birdcage? You ever see the movie? Hey, that's where the lion comes from. Remember, they've got to change the apartment. They got to change the house, okay? And so they're having to change it. You know, the son's fiance and family's coming in. They want to make a good impression. And so they're trying to change it all out, okay? But these people have no clue what's appropriate, okay? And so they're not only taking things out, they're bringing things in. You know, giant crucifixes and all this other thing. They want to know. They don't know what's in a normal. And they're bringing. And the son is saying, no. Subtract. Just don't add. Don't add anything more. Less is more. Just take away. Don't add. Because they have no idea what to add. You know, they're just making things worse and trying to add things to this. And that's kind of what I want us to be thinking about, and sometimes in terms of our witness. You know, we are obviously now in a time when, with the coronavirus, where there are absolutely appropriate social barriers and boundaries that need to be practiced. That is absolutely essential to the health not only of ourselves, but to our family, to our friends, to our loved ones, to our community. It is extremely important that we practice appropriate safeguards in that way. But this story is about the other barriers and boundaries that are often in place that are not effective for us or our families or our communities. This is a story of Jesus breaking down boundaries and barriers. This is a story about a woman who dares to build a bridge to those who are different. That's the call of a disciple. That's the call of Jesus. And if you were reading, if you were listening through that whole passage, you'll notice one of the things that are missing in this story. Did you see this? The disciples are missing. ministry is happening and the disciples are off looking for toilet paper or something. Who knows? They're not even part of it. They're not even there. They're not the ones who bring the town to Jesus. Who knows where they are? They're not there. Sometimes, church, we're not there. If you've taken any type of Bible study at all, then you know that this woman and Jesus are not supposed to be having a conversation at all. They have barriers in place that are put there by their culture and by their religion. A man and a woman, not supposed to talk. A Jew and a Samaritan are enemies. They are not supposed to be having any type of conversation. He's a stranger, she's a resident. You cannot have these conversations. They have protocols in place that say, you don't do this. In addition to that, unfortunately, the church historically has done a terrible job to this woman. They have tried to paint this woman as some kind of slut. It's just absolutely terrible. Oh, there she is, this woman in a red dress and high heels and slit up to here and cut to here. And all this is going on and she just swashes up to the well. And all of a sudden, you're like, where the heck is that in the scripture? You know why they say that? Because it's the middle of the day. Yeah. And the women gathered at the well typically early in the morning to beat the heat. Why is she there in the middle of the day? Well, maybe she spilled the bucket. Why is she there in the middle of the day? You hear this story. She's had five husbands, and the one she's with now, she doesn't even have. Did you know back in those days, women could not divorce their husbands? Didn't matter how bad they were. The only way they could get divorced is if the husband wanted to divorce them. We don't know why she's had five husbands. Could have been five deaths. She could have been widowed five times at a place. Five times maybe she was rejected. Now she's with someone and they say, well, she's not married. Back in my day, that was a big deal. Oh! She doesn't even have protection of marriage. She's vulnerable. She is as vulnerable as you can possibly be. She's not some kind of a vixen. She's vulnerable. And she's coming to the well. And there she meets Jesus. She's not looking for Jesus. She's looking for some water. She's needing something. And there she meets Jesus. In all of her vulnerability, alone. Jesus, of course, sees her. And Jesus needs something. Jesus needs water. It's a simple request. I need some water. I'm thirsty. The well's deep. It's 100 feet or so deep. Can you give me some water? And she should have right then shut it down. You can't talk to me. You're a rabbi. You can't talk to me. You're a Jew. You can't talk to me. You're a stranger. And they engage in this wonderful, beautiful conversation. Did you know, not only is it the longest scripture reading ever done by a worship leader, it is the longest recorded conversation Jesus ever has with anybody. Longer than any talk with his family, longer than any talk with his mother, longer than any talk with his friends, longer than any talk with the disciples, longer than any talk with anybody. It's this woman, and we never even know her name. And listen to the conversation as it unfolds. Because of her questions, she engages him in this conversation. She doesn't allow the barrier or the boundary to get in the way. Jesus is willing to reach her where she is in her vulnerability. And she's willing to reach back. Well, you're a Jew and you say this is where to worship. And Jesus says, no, it's not about geography. Worship is about truth and grace. Worship is about theology and the way we understand God. You don't have a bucket. How are you going to get any water? If you knew who was speaking to you, he would give you living water. Well, I'm tired. I'd love to have that kind of water. Allow the love of God to well in your life and you will never thirst again. It'll quench your vulnerability. Did you know this is the first time in the Gospel of John Jesus reveals who he is to anybody? It's the first time he tells anybody, I'm the Messiah. He doesn't tell the disciples that. He doesn't tell John the Baptist that. He doesn't tell any. The very first time with this woman, to reach out to her in friendship and support. When he talks about the fact that she's had five husbands and the one, he's not trying to expose her, abuse her, or condemn her in any way. He's trying to say to her, I know your pain. I know your fear. I know your vulnerability. And he doesn't condemn her for it. He loves her. He loves her. Wouldn't you like to be able to trust somebody like that? You don't have to pretend. We all know we're pretending. We all have some fear. We all have some vulnerability. There are all kinds of things out there. It's not just a coronavirus that's out there, is it? There's other things that are out there. If people really knew the truth about us, they would never.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I do know the truth about mm-hmm. you. And I'm here to let you know that's not a barrier. I'm here to let you know that's not a boundary. I'm here to let you know I love you the way you are. He doesn't tell her to straighten up her life. He says, I know you. I know you. That's the beautiful part of this story, is the relationship that they end up building. He knocks down barriers. She builds bridges. She not only engages with him, she engages the town folk. Did you see how she does that? All right, the disciples show up. I guess they found the toilet paper, whatever they got. They got their stuff. They come up and she leaves. And she leaves the water jar. Leaves it right there. Goes to the town. And did you hear her invitation? She doesn't come at it with, oh, I've got all the answers. I've met the truth. I've met the living water. I've got all the answers you need. The four spiritual laws. This, if you'll follow these truths, if you'll just follow my path, it'll lead you to Jesus. No. Her witness is, come meet a guy who told me all I ever did. He's not the Messiah, is he? That's her witness. They've talked about the true nature of worship, the Messiah, and come meet a guy who knows everything. It's like you're going to a carnival show. Her witness is a question, not an answer. So many times Christians, you know, we want to give people the answer. Oh, I got to give them the answer. I got to give them. No, you don't. It doesn't work when you try to give people answers. You ever try to talk to your kids when they were growing up? They don't want your answers. They want to know about your questions. They want to know about your doubts. They want to know about their vulnerability because they don't want to feel alone with it. Our witness is most effective when we don't pretend to have all the answers. Our witness is most effective when we have nothing but the best of intention. Come meet this guy and let it go. She never followed up with them. She never did any follow-up. She doesn't come back, well, how'd it go? What was it like? What did you talk about? See, what did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? I told you you'd like him. See, it really is. No, nothing like that. He stays 2 days talking to the people there. They all come to believe in Jesus. None of it would have happened if it had been the disciples. None of it would have happened without this woman willing to build a bridge. Going to people, maybe she is an outcast. Maybe she is at that well alone because all the other women shun her. We don't know. All we know for sure is that she built a bridge. She went to people who possibly rejected her, disrespected her, did not appreciate her. Did you hear it at the end? It's no longer because of your words that we believe in. All right, now we went through this in the class. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it was a long passage. I got to preach a long sermon. The beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. Do you remember that? And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And nothing is made except for through the Word. And the word that is used there, the Greek word, is logos. It's a powerful word. It means Jesus. You hear, the Word. It's power. Verse 42 in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. It's no longer because of your words, lalia. La-la-la-la-lia. That's the Greek word, lalia. You can. It's no longer because of your chatter. Very dismissive. Very dismissive. You see, sometimes, even when you bring people to the Lord, you will not be respected. Jesus doesn't stop that from happening. He shares that with you. Because Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. All he wanted to do was tell people that God loves them. And people couldn't receive the good news. Sometimes our best intentions go out there to try to share good news, good hope, love with other people, healing with other people, and you won't be appreciated, you won't be respected. Now, the church traditionally has not done a very nice job with this woman, except for a while. Early in the life of the church, in the Greek Orthodox Church, the 4th century. Here we go, Stacy. We've got a history lesson going here now. Early in the 4th through about the 10th century, the Greek church named this woman. Named her. Because in the Bible, there's no name. Saint Phobetini. Phobetini, I didn't say that. Phobetini. The Enlightened One. In the early church, Greek church, she was listed as an apostle. The sent ones. The sent ones who go out into the world, who build bridges and bring others to Jesus. That's what we do. We break down barriers. We build bridges. That's what we're called to do. The enlightened ones who know that God's love, God's truth, and God's grace is intended for all people. And Jesus sends us forth with that assignment. Amen. Amen.